to the Love Me Right Summit. I hope you're enjoying these interviews because I enjoyed making them, okay? Our next speaker is a mindfulness leader and speaker, and she is a dedicated advocate for mental health and community development. She is also vice president of a nonprofit that is dedicated to enhancing the mental health and well-being of young girls and women. She is deeply committed to creating positive change in her community, and she has so much experience with mindfulness and utilizing it in her relationship to keep it a happy home. Brandy Meister, I thank you so much for coming. I'm so excited to have this conversation because I know how important mindfulness is to everyone, especially when you're struggling in relationships. So I'm so happy that you're here today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate and honor this space that we'll have together today.
Yeah. So tell them a little bit about you and, you know, how you began this journey on into this mindfulness.
So my journey started with my own journey with my mental health. I had a lot of depression and anxiety struggles, and I wanted to find a better way to regulate my nervous system and my emotions and just make sure that I was overall healthy. So I started getting into more mindfulness activities. I started journaling, doing some reflection, started therapy. And then I started getting more into meditation and slowing my body. There was a lot of rumination that was happening that was causing me to have a lot more anxiety than I really needed to have. Right. So through that, I was able to lower my anxiety levels. Every time I woke up in the morning, me and my partner would talk about his level. He doesn't have anxiety. So he would talk about his level, his baseline for anxiety. And then my baseline was here. And I never really talked to somebody in depth that didn't have anxiety about anxiety. A lot of people around me had general anxiety in one fashion or another. So to hear where his bottom line was, it was even more of an eye opener. And today, this year will be our fifth year together. So that was about 5 to 6 years ago. And I was like, that is amazing how your baseline of waking up is just like, I'm just waking up and I'm waking up anxious. You know, I'm tense. Heart racing, already thinking about all the things that have to happen today, ruminating about all the things that happened yesterday, and just having general anxiety and depression. And that was even more of an eye opener of like, yes, I've done some of the healing work. Yes, I've gone to therapy, but your body is not regulated. That is still a huge thing that needs to be worked on. So I was thinking to myself, okay, I've done the work in healing. I've done the work of processing. I've done the work of looking at what's going on, but now I have to make sure I'm embodying that. And my body is still not regulated. So I went through the process of continuing meditation, and I ended up learning that more mindfulness practices more regularly is actually more effective than just doing it every once in a while when I'm overwhelmed. Right. So I started to really get into the research of it. I started attending classes and seminars and really distinguished teachers in the field. And I started to see and understand that there's psychological and neuro science behind this. And that if you do it for at least 5 to 45 minutes a day over at least 6 weeks, your body will change and your mind will change. Your default responses will change over six months to a year to, you know, years down the road. It'll change your body and regulation and your nervous system even more. So I started getting myself out of survival. I started making sure that it was a normal thing. And especially during COVID, I came crashing down even more because, man, I know there's a pause for that. COVID, right? I think that highlighted a lot of things for people. And my partner and I had just moved in February 2020. And the lockdown in Texas happened in March.
Oh, wow. So, just made it.
And I'm so lucky that it made us stronger and made our relationship deeper, because there was a lot of relationships that didn't make it, right? So our own healing journey was very, very, very high priority. And that was the thing that I think saved us the most, because I was a busy body. So even though I was doing healing, I didn't notice that I was keeping myself busy because of that emotional and body regulation. So
Right.
during COVID, I couldn't do any of those busybody things
Oh,
anymore.
no, you're like,
Where do I go? What do I do with this? Right?
yeah.
Like, what do I do with this? And so it was like a shock to my nervous system because I was like, yeah, I'm doing the work, I'm doing the work, but I really had to be mindful of like how much work am I really doing if I'm not able to just sit in it, right?
Right.
And
It's levels to the
levels, right? You get through
shit,
one, it's like an onion. You get through one and you're like, oh, I'm good, I'm good. And then you're like, oh, another layer. Oh, another layer.
Yep.
I mean, I just had therapy yesterday and I was like, I thought I did, I'm done with that thing. And it's like, okay, here's another layer, right? And boy, the first 6 months, I was like, I hate this house. I need to get out of here. Like, I can't be in here anymore.
Do you have to chew so loud? Why is your heart beating so loud?
It's so loud. Why is this house getting smaller and smaller? Like, I can't go nowhere. Why is this couch feeling so uncomfortable? It's like, it's just, I couldn't, I really felt how, I really just felt everything. Everything just was like, just pounding, into my body. And so I started taking it more seriously. I started listening to the books, the audiobooks and the reading the books and listening to the
Right.
seminars, listening more deeply, and also listening from a new perspective, a more embodied perspective. And I started doing MBSR, which is mindfulness-based stress reduction. So I went through that class and it was a game changer. It was a game changer in regulating my body.
Right.
I started to notice how sleep deprived I was. I started to notice how restless I was in my thoughts, how much I ruminated, how much I just held so much tension. Like this was a default for me, and this was a default. But yeah. And I would always be like, my head hurt, but it
Oh,
was always like this like little crease, this like
small
little
tension,
small tension that I'm holding all day, right? Even when I'm like doing something, my boyfriend would come behind and be like, what's up?
Oh.
I'm like, goodness, like I don't notice how much I'm holding. So that really projected, or like pushed me into a projection of way more healing, and especially within my body. So mindfulness became something that I was like, okay, I'm doing it in my career when I'm doing mindful leadership. Okay, now I'm doing it in my own healing. And now I'm seeing other women that are asking me about this, especially Black women, other Black women who are asking me about this. And so I'm like, this is something we need
Yeah.
together. So I started coaching, and helping others. And then after that, I started to see that mindfulness in the workplace was a formal practice, and there was a lot more formal practices. I wasn't, especially but past the MBSR course and certification, I was like, let me see what else I can do and where else this takes me. So I ended up doing a certification for mindfulness in the workplace, facilitation, and started working with that as well when taking it into the workplace and corporate spaces that they also needed in. And so it just took my trajectory just somewhere where I didn't expect to be. I did not expect to be a mindfulness leader and coach and facilitator and speaker. I did not think this was going to be my trajectory at all. I was going to go, just maybe have my own business. I didn't know what that looked like or do some other things, but it ended up propelling me into something I didn't quite expect. And then I started getting asked to speak in places and workplaces and doing groups and sessions and coming into organizations and being invited into those spaces. So I just leaned into it. I leaned into what was being given to me and the divine, and I leaned into where that was taking me. And that also helped me in my own practice, because I have to be embodied and I have to be centered to help others. So it really, really propelled my own healing journey, while doing it with others as well, because I start to see other things that I might not have touched on or other patterns that I might need to still, work on. So that's the long and short version of where it got me and where I am today.
Right. Wow. Man, I think so many of us women have had these moments where we realize when we're younger, we're just kind of going with the flow. And then as an adult, it's like they don't tell you about your 30s and your late 20s. They don't tell you about
No.
all the things, right? And so, I used to have panic attacks where I'd be breathing out of a paper bag. And
Yep.
it was very stressful for me. So I had my deep depression as well. And I used a lot of mindfulness practices. And it definitely changed my relationship with my husband, my relationship with myself, my relationship with my mother. So I completely understand that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, so this is like a Love Me Right summit. And so I know that you said that you kind of were delving into this, with your partner currently. Were there times when you had other relationships that were really bad and you look back and just wonder, wow, I wish I could have had this practice at that time?
Most definitely, especially when I think about being very rigid with myself. I think self-love is where it starts. No, not I think. I know that's where it starts because I'm very rigid and I didn't have a lot of compassion and grace for myself. So when it came to even past relationships, I think about like even 6, 7, 8 years ago, I'm like, really? I saw that person and like they moved different. And I was like, instead of having a conversation and being very mindful about what we were talking about, I'm thinking about how I'm hurt and I'm looking to win the argument instead of listening to understand where they're coming from and understanding and giving them grace and compassion because I don't have that for myself. Right. So then I'm very rigid in what that looks like. And that really, really started to come up when I was having. I just want to say tension because we don't even call it arguments or fighting. It's like just tension, tension breeds tension, right? So I started to reminisce or think back on those when me and my partner would get into tension and the way we started to change the way we connect. We started to change the way we were communicating. And that started to give me more grace because he was giving me grace. And then I started to have it for myself. And then I looked back on those relationships and even my relationship with my mother has been very tumultuous because, she left when I was younger. And there's a lot of, feelings that come with that and learning her as an adult. And so we even had a lot of conflict where now I've seen that she has changed because I was able to give her grace and compassion and understanding where she has been able to grow in her journey, right? And not being rigid and this is why I'm set in my ways. So there are friendships and situations where I'm like, I could have been a little bit more gracious. I could have listened with a little bit more mindfulness and attentiveness and compassion. And it's not to say that everybody just deserves grace to cross your boundaries, but at the same time, I could have listened. Like, yes, I was hurt, but they also have a story and a life that happens outside of me. And I don't know how that would have played out. Maybe that's where they needed to be. But also how I reacted to things, I just kind of was like, I could have been that, I could have done that better. Right. I could have done some of these things better, but it's landed me where it's landed me. And all I can do is be better moving forward and love myself better so I can love the people around me better.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was listening to your story, and that was that part where your partner gave you grace, so you started giving it to yourself. It's almost like you received the permission that you needed to be like, oh, okay, I deserve that. I'm gonna give it to myself. That's really beautiful that you were able to have that with your partner, So for some of the women that are listening, if they don't, know where to start, I think a lot of times when sometimes a lot of women don't even want to acknowledge, that there's things they need to change. Okay, we women, we got to work on that. But where would you start, let's say for someone who maybe not even really believing that they don't have a lack of self-love, because there's a lot of people that deny that as well. Where would you say for them to just start with practices just in case they might need that?
I would say for one, therapy is a very, very good option for one, because a lot of things that we're dealing with, we don't see on our own. So sometimes like we need to pull that out or have that be pulled out of us. Another one would be journaling, what it's like to love yourself, how you feel about yourself and how you see yourself. That is also a really good reflection piece. And then the other one is just like a, it's called Tonglen, and it's, and I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's a compassion exercise where you imagine compassion for yourself, and then you extend it to somebody that you're having a hard time with. And then you pull it back to somebody you love if you're having a hard time. It's just like an like just
I've
like
heard of that
exercising a
before.
muscle. Yeah, just like an exercise muscle. But it starts to when you look at, yes, I really love myself. I have a lot of compassion. But then when you look at the people you don't have, you don't see eye to eye with, you're very upset with, when you see how much, and like I said, you don't have to go to them and say, like, I forgive you, but it's just extending compassion to their experience. When you start to have a hard time with that, you start to see where you lie and what you are still struggling with that prevents you from having grace and compassion for others. And so you start to ask yourself, why can I not have compassion for them? Why
Right.
do they not deserve compassion from me? Why do they, you know, and then even if they're a horrible person or they harmed you or even abused you, it's again, you don't have to go to them and give it to them, but it's giving it to ourselves. What am I holding on to that doesn't let me give you grace or let you be forgiven in my world? Be
Right.
forgiven to say you're good, right? Because again, you don't have to go to them and be like, you're forgiven, it's okay, because it's not okay. And often when we hear an apology, we say it's okay. What I've started doing when somebody gives me an apology, I say thank you for acknowledging that and then acknowledging me, because
Right.
it's okay also tells myself, oh, it's okay if they did that. And I have to use different language when I'm looking at the language that I'm using and the way I'm communicating with people. That's where the place to start. So when you start to see how much compassion you can give to others, you start to see how much you're limiting the that forgiveness, that compassion, that grace for the other person, and saying, well, they hurt me, they hurt me. Yes, they hurt you. But also their life has made a trajectory, you know, and I've been abused in my life as well, and I've been harmed in my life as well. But in that practice, I'm able to give them compassion because they struggled so badly, they had to hurt others. They struggled so deeply that harm was the only way for them to get where they needed to be, right? And that's sad in its own self, you know, it's in
Right.
its own piece that you're so deeply wounded or so deeply, you know, malicious or whatever, like having compassion for that human experience that they're also struggling with.
Right. I was going to say that that's definitely it for me. Like when I stopped being angry, because I used to be one of those like road ragers. And I'd be like,
What?
I would, be angry in the car, but
Yeah.
it's like I really, when I finally
Yep.
started, doing all these practices, I realized number one that everyone has their own experience. Like they're already going through things. And I also had, I read this book and it was like, you think about you more than other people do. And a lot of people are moving around in life thinking about themselves. They're not even trying to hurt you half the time. They're just, they don't really, they're
Absolutely.
not thinking about you.
Yeah.
And so you can always ask yourself, what would happen if they weren't trying to hurt me? Like, what if there was something else? Like just humor yourself. What if some they're doing something else, right? And then you take yourself out of the equation and then you look at it separately and then you still stand with your boundary, like I'm not going to allow anyone to treat me like that. But
Right.
I can extend gratitude or not gratitude, but compassion to them and say, I feel bad for them, but I'm going to still stand by my boundary. But it allows you to release the anger.
Yes.
If they were attacking you or if you felt like a victim, you can release the anger and move forward without that. So absolutely. I love that. So, question for you. In your new life with your partner, now that you guys are both practicing these things, what are some of the things that you notice the most about like how you feel and how you carry yourself and how the energy feels in your body?
Everything's different. When I wake up, I don't feel the tension. You can see I don't have my crease.
It's flat,
You know,
girl. It's flat.
flat. Yeah, it's like taking me into the space of like, I feel like almost emotional about how different it is.
Good.
I don't ruminate as much. I'm not thinking about the next thing I have to do, even in this conversation. I'm not thinking about yesterday, the next thing, what I'm going to say next, all these other things. What people are going to think about me, just everything. Even during tension, I feel loved. It's so different. I can be fully myself in my bad moods, my moodiness, but I don't, but I feel safe. I feel so safe with myself and how I feel and how I talk about myself, and then with my partner. A lot of times when we're having a really tense conversation, especially when it's about a misunderstanding or I felt like this, so this happened, it starts to feel, I feel so heard. So I get to be fully me and everything that that looks like. The other day I was running late. I didn't get up in time. So I was really snappy. And I wasn't, and again, I was only thinking about me. I was not thinking about him. And I was really snappy. He was like, "Do you need help?" I'm like, asking me if I need help while I'm in the middle of something is not helpful. Like, just do it if you're right. And he just looked at me. He said, "Look, I'm not mad. I'll just go ahead and do it. Like, I hope you're able to get where you need to be." And I was like, yeah. And I left. And then a few hours later, I called him. I was like out. I was like out and about, and I called him, and I was having a good day. I was like, hours had passed, and I was like having, a better day, and I got to where I needed to be, and like I was given grace. And that's what I was afraid of. It was the first time that I was meeting somebody for business, and I did not want to be late and have that type of it, like image. And I was like thinking all these bad things that they're going to think about me, and they didn't even do that, right? I put that on myself. And then it just like went away, right? And so when I talked to him later, I was like, "Hey, I'm having a good day. I'm going over here." And then this happened, and updating him, he was like, "That sounds great. Like, I love you. I'm so glad. I'm so happy for you. I'm glad this happened. I'm proud of you." And like he didn't chastise me for snapping at him. He didn't say like, "Oh, you didn't get on me about that." And like we didn't even talk about it until like that happened a few like a 2 days ago. We didn't even talk about it until like not last night. And
Because he
he it
knew.
was, huh?
He knew
He,
that it
yeah, yeah.
wasn't him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He knew because I was saying to myself, why didn't I wake up earlier? Oh my gosh, I'm running late. He knew it wasn't about him.
Right.
And I say that to say, like, that made me feel so safe.
Right.
My body wasn't tense. I didn't feel like calling him was going to be tense. I was going to have to feel bad about it and internalize it. My stomach doesn't hurt. I used to get headaches, and I used to be sick, randomly sick with like random like 24-hour stomach bugs and stuff. And
That's
I said
stress,
the other
yeah.
stress, and I even and ha headaches. And I said the other day, "Wow, I haven't been sick in a long time, a long time." We got COVID back in like August, and I haven't been sick since. Like it'll be allergies or certain things. So my body is so different, and the way we handle tension is the factor that makes it so much better, because I don't have to be tense calling him and feeling like I'm going to be chastised, I'm going to be put down, and now I'm going to have to explain myself. And I already feel bad about snapping at him.
Right.
And I get to come to that. He lets me come to that on my own,
Right.
right? And it's the same for him. And it makes my body feel better. It makes my immune system, my emotional regulation, my nervous system. I don't feel that tension. I don't feel sick anymore. I
Yeah.
don't wake up just tense and panic attacks and just heavy breathing sometimes. Those things don't happen anymore. And that was just like a quick example of like how we handle things. And I was able to tell him the other day, like, I was just really upset. And he was like, "Well, the reason I asked you is because sometimes you like to do things." And he explained himself. And I was like, "Oh, I understand why you said that now. Just for me, this would be helpful moving forward." And like this, it's just I feel guilty. And I was able to explain why I felt that way. And he was able to say, like, this is why I asked, but I understand you don't want to stop and figure it out, and that's okay. So this is what I'll do moving forward, and we'll do something different. Because just like you said, he knew it wasn't about him. So all of that makes my body feel better. My body is so different. I didn't notice how much stomach pain I had, how much headaches, and all of those were from stress, from, just random sickness. Is like your body telling you you need to rest, your body shutting down what you're not acknowledging, and being able to have a partner who is very stable and also himself and knows me as well and doesn't internalize some things like that, like me getting upset about myself. My intention wasn't to have, him feeling bad or to be mean to him, but the impact was still there. So even though our intentions are good and other people's intentions are good, there's still an impact that happens that affects our body, and it affects how we look at ourselves and think about ourselves. So my body has completely changed, and I'm able to be safe in those conversations.
I love that. And your body does keep score. Like there's, you can,
Absolutely.
and that's why I love coaching so much, because I went to therapy and I felt like we talked a lot about this stuff, but my body was still holding on. And so it wasn't until I learned many other modalities and practices where I got to release the energy that I really, really saw the difference. And the thinking about the past and the future, I finally stopped doing that when I reminded myself, it's like, this is the only moment that exists. Any thoughts from the past is like your memory. Any thoughts from the future is your imagination. And so we've got to stay in the present moment. And I learned practices on how to like find my present moment. Like, especially a lot of times I would even just say it out loud, like, I'm in the shower right now, and in this moment, I feel fine. Like, if I'm not thinking about that, like, that stuff is not actually making me feel bad right now, And just really, I think the biggest thing that we've both talked about today is being aware of your thoughts, because they will just run amok if you don't check them.
Yes. I always tell people, like, when I'm coaching and when I'm facilitating and speaking, I'm like, we live in our head. We live in our head and not our body. Being present brings us back into embodiment and back into our body. Because if we live in our head, again, we're going to spiral. We're going into it. We're feeding into it. And one thought leads to another, leads to another. And now we're tensed up. My stomach hurts. I can't work.
You have a whole dress rehearsal of the argument you're not about to have. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh
It's
my goodness. And then ruminating on, oh my gosh, I should have said that.
gonna
Like,
happen.
oh, that would have been a good comeback. You know what? If you text me, you know what I'm about to say? Oh, I got you. Right? Or
Preparing for
imagining,
the
oh yeah. Or
rematch.
like, I saw a post the other day was like, do we all fantasize about being on a talk show telling our side of the story? And I'm like, girl.
Oh my gosh, oh, that too for me, because I've had people really lie on me before and like tell
Oh.
people stories, and I had to like release the need to control the narrative. It's like, if people in
Oh.
my life like really fuck with me, then they will ask me. And if they didn't ask and they ran with that, they're really not for me. And so I'm okay with that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I can't, there's no need for that. Like, after you break up phone call, that's for you to try to get what you want to hear off of the call. It's not about anything else, right? Like, just
Yes.
release the need to control the narrative, and it changes so much.
So much. It releases you from that pressure to be like, I'm not that person. I'm not that person. It's like, if that's how you see me, if that's who I am in your story, then let it be. Like, I can't dictate that for you and for me and be over here. Like, that's a lot of energy spent going around trying to have all these conversations to clear your name. Like, conscious is clear.
Especially if it's a partner. Like, if first and foremost, if your partner doesn't see you and they are okay with running with a narrative they created or whatever, and it puts you in a bad light and it's not who you are,
Yeah.
that's not the partner for you. Because I want my
Absolutely.
partner to know, like, I would never intentionally hurt him. And I want him to think about that anytime, you know, like know who I am. And that's how I know that the person that I'm with right now is for me, right? Like, but then also you have partners that have their own trauma. We have to understand that too. But like, as far as, you know, going back and forth with someone or anything like that, let it go. Let
Let
it
it
go.
go. And there was, and speaking of that, they're like having their own trauma. Like I'm somebody who was not heard in a lot of spaces. And then he was somebody who was like, who shut down
Mine
when,
too.
so it was like, I got loud and then he'd shut down. And like, we had to come together to say, like when we weren't in tension, when we were not in that space, we had to come together and say like, okay, this is what happened for me. Like I felt like I wasn't heard, so I got loud. And he's like, whenever somebody gets loud, I shut down, and that's why I'm not responding, because I cannot hear anything that happens. There's literally a trauma response that happens, and it's just like noise. I can't decipher
Right.
what's happening. I can't get the words that you're saying correctly. I can't get my thoughts together. And so we both had to be mindful of that and say, okay, like yours is here, mine is here. So what I'm going to do is, when I feel like I'm not being heard, I'm going to take a timeout. When you're feeling like you're shutting down, either take a timeout or he will start to speak up. Like I'm starting not to be able to hear you. Like that's kicking in for me. Can we take a break? And for him, he needs resolution. I sometimes need space, right? So I have committed to, if I need space, I need to give a time that we can reconcile. Hey, can we pause and come back to this in an hour? Hey, can I get 15 minutes? I will literally do this and be like, I need 15 minutes, because I'm gonna start getting mean and loud, right? And so that was like our first year together, obviously during COVID. And like now it's very much like we're sitting down, and if we start to feel disconnected, we hold hands, or we pause and hug, even though I'm like tense, that co-regulation happens.
It'll
And
start to relax you because he's numb.
and then we remember that we love each other. We remember that trying to understand you, because even though your intention wasn't that, this is the impact you had on me. And he'll say like, I didn't intend on that, and I'm really sorry hearing it from your perspective. I'm really sorry I created a space like that for you, and I understand why you're upset. Hearing it back, I see how that's upsetting. And I'll do the same thing, like, wow, I have never heard myself be so cold and loud. I'm sorry you're experiencing that, because I love you and I don't want somebody I love to experience that. So let's find a way where we can come together, and now we can come together and I don't feel like I have to get loud, because I know I can be heard. He will hear me. So I don't, and he doesn't have to shut down, because he knows that there's no danger, right? I'm not a danger. I'm not gonna, do something to him or leave, or like there isn't a danger. So it's very much looking at the trauma of each other and then expressing that, like, this is where I'm coming from. This is what triggers me. This is my trauma. Here's mine. And then trying to re have a resolution, and come together to rectify that.
Especially, you know, the basis of that is just starting if you're with a partner that's safe, because there's some people that are narcissistic and will hurt you. So, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone that you just met or someone that has not given you a reason to believe that they, you know, don't care, always assume the best intentions from them when you assume a situation. And then when you present it, try saying like I feel, because it's not attacking and it allows them to hear you without feeling like, because once you say, well, you did, sometimes people can't hear nothing else. It's like Charlie Brown and it's wah, 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 and they can only hear what they're about to say next. They got the Dukes on and it's like you're not going to get anywhere. So yeah, oh God, there's so many tools I've learned. Me and my husband been together 15 years in November. And you know, when we met, I had just started my healing journey, because that's how I met him. I like attracted him really quickly when I started making changes, but I was still low vibrational. I mean, I just only changed a few things, right? And so then, as we're dating, you know, it's like we got married in 1 year to the day, and I was pregnant on my honeymoon. So I'm like, mommy, wife, all at the same time, going from party girl to this in like 1 year span. It was like,
That's a
A
huge
whirlwind.
change. Yeah.
Yes, 100 to zero. And I had to work through all of my trauma in front of an audience. Like I wasn't alone in that. And so the change from, hyphy arguing between him and I went to like, okay, well, this is what I need. This is what you need. Okay, this is where I come from. This is where I come from. So we kind of understand each other more. We really don't even yell like that. I mean, we really don't too much argue too much. It's like more communication. I mean, it's crazy how the difference, just allowing the partner be when you know they don't have bad intention,
Right.
so
Yeah.
different.
Even, yeah, exactly. The difference that happens and that I feel, I love using that. And even my boyfriend started using like, this is how I experienced the interaction.
That's a
There
great
was,
one.
yeah, like it he'll say like he won't say like you got really loud. He'll say like there was yelling and then this is what happened. Whenever there's yelling, this is what happens to me. And then
Right.
he starts to like say what happens to him, and then he's like, and then when I hear this, I feel this,
Right.
and I feel that this is what, and I'm like, whoa, you really start to, and that's also really uncomfortable. And I'll
Right.
preface that too, is that whoever's listening, don't feel like going into the first conversation, you're just gonna be like, we're good to go. It took months of practice for me to sit down and hear how he experiences me during a tense moment, because I was very ashamed. And he's like, and he would often say, like, at the end of what he's saying, he's like, I still love you. Like, when we get to a hard part, he'd be like, I still love you. And I would do the same thing. Like, I would go through it on what I experienced, and then I would say, like, I still love you. And that was a reminder for me and for him that I'm not saying this because I don't love you. I'm not saying this to break up with you, to have a reason to go to take this somewhere and
Right.
leave you. I'm saying what happened so we can figure out a way to come to a resolution together. Like, what can we do better? And that's when we came up like with the timeouts and the hugging, and like we came up with ways for us to come together. So don't feel like, especially when he first started telling me how he experiences me, it was I started crying. Because I was like, I would hate for, I hate that you experienced me like that. I love you. And
You're
I
wrong. You're thinking, I'm that girl. Oh
yeah, like, what? Who is that person? Right? Because I'm not that
no.
person.
Yeah.
But he would say, I love you. And then I'd have to take a time out and say, like, can we get some just time to be quiet, or just time for like me to like tell you how I feel about that? Or can I just sit for a second? And I would just cry. And it was very uncomfortable. And sometimes you'd have to come back to it and then come back to it again, and taking breaks and taking breaks and have this like resolution. It took a little bit, but we eventually got there where now we can just sit down and have the conversation, and then it ends up going into like our healing, and then something that we read, and the thing is resolved, right? So I don't want you to listen to this and say like, oh, let me just do it, and you did it and you're like, that was hard and it was horrible. It's like
Yeah.
the first few times, imagine, like I said, we've been together since 2019, but then we dated for 2 years before that. And then we were with co in COVID together, locked in the house, constant conversations. It was a very, very long building process. It is not something that happens overnight. It is something that you have to have a conversation, start it, practice it. And we started practicing it when things were not so heavy too.
Right.
So that way, when things were heavy, we felt safe enough to do it, because you can't just start it when you're at a very high tension, very high hurt level, because you don't go through those the same. It's like
Yeah.
you practice it, you bring it in so it can be more of a regular thing that you're doing. Because when you do it, when the stakes are high, it's a lot harder to work through, a lot
Yeah.
harder to work through.
If you are in that situation with someone that's high energy like that and you don't want to leave, because there's levels to it, right? Because sometimes people feel like this is my family, I'm gonna tough it out, right? And if it's really energetic, it doesn't mean you can't start making changes. She's just saying like the way that they did it, it might not work exactly how you think it's gonna work in that moment, right? But you can start changing because you can't control anyone else. And so you're the only person that can change you. So I started with the I feels. And it changed the, because nobody can argue with your feelings. And if someone tries to argue with your feelings, that's like a narcissistic trait. Because, like, how can you tell me how I feel? Do you know what I mean? Like, someone tried to change your mind about how you feel. That's scary. But you can always start with that and remembering, okay, this is what my, you know, think about how you've been experienced. Like, if the situation, how did I come across? You know, did I, was I calm? Could they have seen an attitude in me? Always start first and just little changes. Just little changes, and
Little.
definitely find a coach or someone that has been through what you what where you want to go, been to where you want to go, so that you can ask questions and have guidance. That's the best way to go about it. So,
Yeah, having that third party that works through it with you and gets to see that is very helpful.
absolutely. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you, and yeah, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I think that the wisdom that we've both shared, if anyone is in a relationship, they definitely have tools now to kind of begin to change the narrative and feel better, and so that you can begin to be loved right. And if you're single, we're definitely giving you some games so that you can try to work on this before you even get into a relationship.
Absolutely.
And on top of it all, where can they find you? Because I know they're probably thinking, like, where can I follow this girl? So, where are you on the social media?
I have an Instagram, which is More by Brandy, and Brandy is Brandie. I also have two different websites. One is more creative, where it's, has my book, my poetry, a lot of the other ventures that I have in this space as well. So it's brandymeister.com. And then I also have my business website where you can see a lot of the services that I provide, a lot of the resources in that capacity when it comes to mindfulness in the workplace and mindfulness in general, which is morebybrandy.com as well.
Perfect. And you have a little something for them, don't you?
Absolutely. So we'll go ahead and post a link where you can sign up for a free session with me. We can go through a mindfulness session, look at your life, some mindfulness techniques that we can go through that can help propel you into the next stage of healing your relationships and all of that good stuff.
Yes, I know that's going to be an amazing asset. So definitely, you gotta jump on. When you hear something good, you gotta jump on it now.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks again for coming in. I really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you.
That interview was thought-provoking, and it made a lot of people think about their own relationships, I'm pretty sure. Now, our next speaker found the passion to help others through her life-altering experiences and unexpected life changes. As an impactful author and keynote speaker, she is making every effort to help women walk through the transition of finding out who they are now and how to let go of the old dreams that aren't serving them anymore. Gotta check out this interview. I'll see you over there.